are washed away. Oh, I'm amazed. Oh, I'm amazed that you love me. Yes, I'm amazed how you care through your precious blood. I found pardon and my sins are washed, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. No one knew how alone I was feeling, and the emptiness I tried so hard to hide. Though I laughed and said my life was fine without you, I was covering up the secret tears I cried. Then one day someone told me of your mercy and the love you showed on a hill called Calvary. There you died and purchased my redemption. When you broke sin's power, set my spirit free. Yes, I'm amazed, oh, that you love me. Oh, I'm amazed. Through your precious love, I found pardon. And my sins are washed, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed away. Yes, it's true. There have been days when I failed you. Lord, you know the many times I've gone astray. But I've learned your love is stronger. Yes, Lord. Is open every time I pray. No one else has ever cared for me like you, Lord. Oh, other friends could never be as close to me. I'm not afraid to face the problems of tomorrow, knowing you are everything I'll ever need. I'm amazed that you love me. I'm amazed, oh, how you care. Through your precious blood, I found pardon, and my sins are washed, they're all washed away. Oh, my sins are washed. Oh, I'm amazed. Yes, I'm amazed. Oh, that you love me. I'm amazed. Oh, how you care. Precious blood, I found pardon. My sins are washed, they're all washed away. Washed away. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Sing it again. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Unspoken requests. Also, brother, pray for Brother Dean Butler and his family, their relation to the Wilsons. They're sick with stomach virus and fever. Also want to remember Sister Elizabeth Salcedo has a stomach virus. Pray for her and her family. Also want to remember the Brother Kelly and Sister Myra Hildebrandt. Today they lost their son-in-law this week. And they're having the funeral today, I believe, about 2:30. So I remember them today, that God would just comfort them, give them strength during this time. How many of you have a need? You want to take it to the Lord today? Let's just sing that song together. Only believe, all things are possible. Yes, only believe. Only believe. All things. Just go to Him now. You know that song is one that the prophet said that the angel of the Lord loved. He drew near. I believe He's here this morning, amen, for our needs. Let's just go to Him. Lord Jesus, this morning, Father, Lord, we welcome You. Lord, the Most High God, we welcome You in our midst today, Father. Lord, we're so thankful that we can call upon Your name. And, oh God, in times of trouble, Lord, when it seems like everything would be going the wrong direction, Lord, we can look to You, Father. Oh God, know, Lord, that You're in control. We just ask now, Lord, for this need with Brother Kelly Hildebrandt and his family, Lord, losing this son-in-law so unexpected, Father, and oh God, I pray that You would be the comforter today. Lord, that You would give him the words to say, Father. Oh God, to bring healing and deliverance, Lord. And Father, I pray that You would just be with them, that family. And Lord, for our needs here, the requests that were read across the desk, Lord. Sister Elizabeth Salcedo with a need in her body today. Lord, I know You're the healer. You're the God that changes not. If You ever healed someone, Lord, You're still the same today. We call You on the scene for her need, Lord. Oh, Lord, for each one that was mentioned, Father, I ask that You would meet the needs today. Every hand that was raised, Lord, You know the need behind it. Father, even before that hand went up, You are the discerner of the thoughts and intents of man. You knew, Lord. Father, our hand went up in faith, Lord, knowing that You've already provided the answer, and it's on the way, Father, and we thank You for that. Now, we call You on the scene today for our meeting, Lord. There are those gathered here today that have a need, Lord. It may be a need of the Holy Ghost. Oh, Lord, what a need that would be today. Father, we ask that You would come now. Anoint every part of this service. Lord, each song that's sang, may it just usher in Your presence, Father. Oh, Lord, that Your spirit would be so strong here today that, Lord, Your enemy, Satan, would be driven from our midst, Lord. There'd be not one devil left standing when we leave this building today, Father, I pray. We love You and we thank You and we commit this service into Your hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
You say, praise the Lord. Amen. You can turn around and shake one of those hands this morning. Amen. Welcome each other here. Amen. Hallelujah. Give G. Amen. We ask the brothers that would take the offering up.
I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high. Where we are gathering in the anthem in that city in the sky. Where we are gathering in. Oh, when we are gathering in, watch my soul. I will sing when the redeemed
down at the cross where my Savior died. Oh, down where for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, glory to His name. Yes, glory to His wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to His name. Oh, I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides with Him. There at the cross where He took me in. Oh, glory to His name.
The prayer.
the presence of Jehovah. Yes, in the presence. Oh. In His holy presence. Oh, in His presence. In His holy presence. Oh, the weary can. Oh, yes, Jesus. The broken heart. Choir to come. Let's sing it again. In His presence, in His holy presence. Oh, in His presence, in His holy presence, all the weary can find perfect rest. The broken
so many changes. What's the news for today? Somebody's hurt, somebody's aching. Somebody's trying to find a way.
A heavy heart can break your will. A troubled soul leaves time standing still. And if you're hurting, please don't hide. Lift up your head, I'm on your side.
Rescue
me.
My baby. searching for some hope to hold. Those empty hands will leave you waiting and praying for a miracle.
Jesus hears your every cry. He sees the mountains you can't climb, and He will heal your hurting soul and lead you safely to His home. When every mountain seems too high, built on this desire, through the flood and through the fire, Jesus rescues me.
When every mountain,
seems too high.
Oh, it seems too high.
When every river looks too wide. Built on this desire, through the flood and through the fire, Jesus rescues me.
Amen and amen. So thankful He's rescued me. Amen. What a wonderful God we serve. So good to us. Let's stand together. Key of G, Brother Adam. Let's just sing that chorus. How great is our God?
How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great. Our God, sing with me. God had preached in one. Oh, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And always see how great, oh, how great is the name of God. Oh, He's the name of God, all names. Oh, worthy of all praise. Oh, my heart will sing how great is our God. He's the name. Oh, He's the name of God. Oh, yes. Yes, worthy of all praise. Oh, my heart will sing how great. Sing it again now. He's the name above all names. Yes, He's the name above all names. Oh, worthy of all praise. Oh, my heart will sing how great.
Now and just tell Him how great He is, how wonderful, how marvelous, how simply marvelous, how great is our God. Lord Jesus, You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the root and the offspring. Lord, You are the rose of Sharon. You are the all in all. You're everything, Lord. Lord, vocabulary will not describe how wonderful and how great that You are. Father, how we appreciate You today, knowing that Your name is above all names. And You are worthy to be praised. Lord, oh God, today just wipe every sin of doubt, every sin of unbelief away from us. And Lord, let Your word reign supreme today. And let us move in that realm of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, let us tap into that anointing. Lord, and anoint just not only me, but also the people today. Lord, the speaker and the hearer alike. May we be in one mind, one accord, moved by the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, today, we know even as far as the east is from the west, our sins are removed from us. And we thank You, Lord, for Your grace. Lord, we thank You for the benefits that belongs to us as believers. We're Yours today to serve You. Now, Lord, just take our hearts today. Mold us in Your hands. Purge us from every unbelief. Wash us and make us clean, Lord, by the washing of the water of the Word. Help us to understand our day. our hour in this visitation. For we ask it in the name of Jesus for your glory. Amen and amen. God bless you. Amen. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 37. We're going to be speaking today on angelic anointings at his appearing. Amen. I mean, believe we're here in the time of his appearing.
Amen.
Amen. So now we are going to be reading the scripture. I want you to pay close attention to verse 40 and verse 41 as we come down to it. And just notice the whole thing that Jesus speaks here of the end of the world and angelic anointings that will be here to bring about a separation that happens at the end time. Matthew chapter 13 verse 37. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field. And the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who when he hath found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. When it was full, they drew to the shore and sat down and gathered the good into the vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Amen. God bless you. Can be seated. Notice these things that Jesus is speaking of as he speaks about the end of the world, and two of these parables that he sets forth are shows the kingdom of heaven's likened to a net, or the kingdom of heaven is like a man that soweth seed, and the Son of Man soweth the seed and then sendeth the angels to separate that which doth offend. Again, the angels are used for bringing the separation. Just keep that in mind as we are going into the message today, so that you can see clearly this is something that Jesus taught. And then again, he speaks it of like a man casting his net and then drawing in the catch, separating that which is bad and throwing it away, and then putting that which is good into vessels. And so he said, so shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from amongst the just. Now, we will also turn to Matthew 24, because I want you to notice Jesus at that end time where the Jewish dispensation was ending and the temple worship was ending. And he says in Matthew 24 in verse 1, Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives. And the disciples came to him privately and said, saying, tell us, what shall these things be? So he actually is asked about three different questions that he is going to be answering. And so he says, tell us, what shall these things be? In other words, when will it be that the temple is destroyed? And what shall be the sign of thy coming? So now again, he is going to answer, what is the sign of his coming? And then of the end of the world, which those two are synonymous together, because in the end time is his coming, where he gathers his elect, and then he brings the punishment or the judgment upon the world, and there again they are taken to the judgment, and then finally unto the burning. Now, we have been reading now from Luke chapter 17, and we're going to review that this morning from verse 26, where that this is exact parallel. It's Luke's version of Matthew 24. So if you compare these two, you kind of get two viewpoints from the different ones, Luke and Matthew, as they're telling about this discourse here and the answers to these questions. And both of them, you know, it's just like two people listen to the same sermon, and this stood out to this one, and this stood out to that one. And so they kind of bring them together, and you kind of get a broader view of what that was about, you see. And so they're listening to this sermon, and Luke comes along, and he, what stands out to him, what he was grabbed by, he puts that down and records that. And Matthew, he puts that down, the way he heard it and what stood out to him. And so now, again, Jesus speaking here in verse 28, he says, we can start with verse 26. As I said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. We've been over that, you know, about this apocalypto, or whether, you know, revealing, not the coming, but the revealing. Amen. In that day, he which is, shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that's in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. I tell you, in that night there shall be two in one bed, the one taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinded together, the one taken, the other left. Two men shall be in the field, the one taken, the other left. And they answered and said unto him, where, Lord? Where will they be taken? And he said unto them, wheresoever the body is, thither will the eagles be gathered together. And then we have read also from Matthew's account, Matthew 24, 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Now we're looking into the scripture because, as you know, in them we believe we have eternal life. And we are wanting to see where that they testify of the end time. We want to know where we are at. This is where the disciples were when they were asking these questions. They was hearing this time is coming. There won't be a stone left upon another, and with the temple. And, well, when will this be? And then, you know, what will be the sign of your coming? And then when will be the end of the world? So all of these things that they were asking, wanting to know where they were in time. We're here today. I'm sure you're just like me. You're wanting to know on the roadmap where we're at. You know, what do we expect where we're at today? What kind of signs should be we, our markers should we be looking for to identify where we're at, so that we can go then back and looking at the roadmap says this is supposed to be here at this place, and we get out and look around and we find out the very markers are right here that identify exactly where we're at here in this end time. Now, of course, we know that he refers to the days of Lot. We're going to expound on that a little bit more this morning as we compare these end times. The end times of the days of Lot, the end times where Jesus and that temple worship was coming to an end there. Jesus, of course, was not coming to an end, but he was predicting the end. But then we're predicting the end of the Gentiles. So we can go back and look at the Jews and we can get an idea of exactly how we come down to our Laodicea or our end time. And we can look and we can see there's a rejection of the Messiah there. Then we know there's got to be a rejection of the Messiah here. And then, you know, again, because we're closing out of the two different dispensations. The Jewish dispensation was coming to an end. Their Messiah had come, and he had come in an unexpected way. He didn't come in the way they were looking for him. But he came as a baby in a manger, and they totally overlooked him. And then, of course, today is like that day. They looked and said, well, surely he will be a Sadducee, and he most definitely will be a Pharisee. Or he will be of this religious order or that religious order. And when he came, he wasn't a part of none of them. And then we come down to this end time, and he comes again in an unexpected way. Because they are looking for the great clouds to open and him to burst forth. And there be a meeting in the air and millions of people ascend at the same time. And so he's not coming until that happens. But we are preaching and teaching you that there is an appearing before that coming. And there must be a people here that love that appearing. And without receiving that appearing, they will never recognize the signs of his coming, and so therefore we'll totally miss how he comes. Now, as we're looking at this, we find that in the days of Sodom that it had become so wicked until its sin had reached a height. This was the way it was in the days of Noah. Sin had reached a level that God could no longer tolerate. So therefore, the thoughts of the minds of man was evil continually. And the very imaginations of his heart. You know, of course, we come back to that very thing today where man's mind is stirred by his imagination and television and movies and everything else, you know, fantasy has pulled man into a realm like never before where even if people are not doing wicked, they are thinking wickedly. And maybe a man is still true physically to his marriage vow, but he's so pulled into pornography and in his mind and incest and child rape and pornography and everything else that they're feeding on in the imaginary realm or that realm of the imagination. You say, well, that don't hurt as long as you don't do it. That's not right. Jesus said, if a man looks upon a woman to lust after in his heart, he hath committed adultery with her already. And here again, all of these things, what a man, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Amen. It doesn't necessarily have to go to deeds and to actions yet. It's there in the heart. And God looks upon the heart. This is where God wants you to know he's the Word. And he'll discern the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's why you want to keep your thinking clean. You say, well, how can I do that when every evil thought is going to our minds or whatever else? You cast down reasoning. Every high thing that exalts itself against the Word of God, you don't feed on those things. You dismiss them. You walk away from them. Amen. You get your mind on whatever things are pure, whatever things are good report. Amen. Whatever things are holy, you think on those things. Amen. Because again, if you think right, then you will always do right. Amen. So it begins with the heart being turned and the heart centered on God, and you're setting your affections on the things that are eternal. But when you feed on all of these other things that are in the world today with its movies and its, you know, I still don't get it. I don't understand how people can watch murders and they can watch sex scenes and adulteries take place and everything else, and they can feed on that and still claim to be a Christian. A Christian lives above that kind of thing. Amen. He doesn't feed. He doesn't rejoice in iniquity. He isn't taken by some gladiator spirit of some fight or some murder or some evil that is going on. So while they're true, based on a true story, I don't care. There's some true stories ain't worth repeating. Amen. I got a better true story than that. You got a better true story than that. You want to feed on the right things. Amen. Because you, as Brother Brown said, you tell me, you show me what a man looks upon, the kind of music that he listens to. You show me what kind of book that they're reading, and I'll tell you what that person is. Because your appetite will reflect on what kind of spirit's on the inside of you. And you can calm yourself down with all this filth and vileness that's in the world today. And you can gum your soul with that. There's something wrong on the inside. And I'm going to go on record as telling you before you get to the judgment. Your blood won't be on my hand. You can just mock me if you want to. You can just say, Tim is an old fogey, or whatever you want to say. But I'll tell you, on that day, every man's heart will be exposed. And I just say, expose me now, God. And cleanse me now. Amen. Now, but wickedness began to be great until God said, I will go down now. I will go down now and see whether according to the cry of it which is coming to me, and if not, I will know it. So here comes an investigation. And God begins to begin to recognize. Remember, Ezekiel 9 says, that's a sealing angel goes out and he puts a mark on those that sigh and cry for the abominations. Sin makes them sick. So there's an investigation going on. He's looking down, trying to find somebody who will believe. Looking down into the hearts. Now then, he comes in and prophesies of the end time, of how that again Babylon the Great is fallen, which we know is mystery religion, and here that Babylonian system coming right down into Christianity mix itself, until the Bible says finally God says, come out of her. Right. Come on. Amen. Amen. I'm calling the people out. A separation is taking place. Right. Amen. Oh my. That you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquity. Now, these are all signs or indicators of the end time. Sodom is a sign of the end, where evil becomes so great, as I said, it sends up a cry to God and causes God to come down, as it was the days of Lot. And in the days of Lot, God came down, cloaked in a pillar of fire, the angel of the covenant. Amen. And he was looking for an elect to believe. Amen. And wrapped himself now in human flesh and walks there among Abraham. And begins to unfold some mysteries to him. Amen. I, you know, that's me. I want to be a receiver of those mysteries. Some of them seals and all them things, they don't mean nothing to me. Well, I'll tell you, you're talking to the wrong person, because they mean something to me. When I know that God takes his book and he opens his book and he unseals things that he's left to this generation, I say, what a blessed people we are. How honored we are that God would do that. Now, Paul tells us that he also will come. He tells us the method that he will come. He says, the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with a mighty message. Malachi tells us that it will be Elijah that would come, and he would turn the hearts of the children. He would prepare people for this coming. And then we see in Abraham's day, as it was in the days of Lot, we see the Lord appeared on the plains of Mamre, sat down in the tent door in the heat of the day. And I just want to just say again to you, let's not let our hearts be so hard. Let's not be so swept up with the world that we're not recognizing what God is doing in this generation. Amen. What we have seen done through a messenger, what we see continue to be done in a body ministry, in the appearing of the Lord. And I tell you how important it is today to shake the dust off the promises of God and see what's promised for this last days. That's why we're wanting to look again, and we want to thoroughly investigate instead of just gloss over these scriptures. We want to understand. We want to see. Because what we are seeing in this day is the ministry of Jesus Christ reincarnated in his church in this last day. That's what we saw. Discern the thoughts and the intents of heart in the tent behind. Amen. That's what we saw time after time after time. The ministry of Jesus Christ repeated. Then we see that same ministry that was in the book of Acts continue on in a body ministry around the world as the message goes out to call that elect. Amen. His ministry reincarnated. I'm just going to ask you again, what form are you looking for? How in the world is he going to come? Before he can come in that meeting in the air, he's got to come in the form of his word. Come on. You say, but we got the Bible. No, we've had the Bible now since Luther printed it in the common language. Certainly we got the Bible. But we've had every man's interpretation to the Bible. We've looked at it through everybody else's glasses. Come on. And if you look in through enough glasses, you'll find a version that'll fit you. You want to be a homosexual? They got them out there. If you want to be a pervert, they got them out there. If you just want to be a cold, formal church member, they got those kind of glasses. It'll color the word for you, where it'll veil Christ, and you will not see even the coming judgments upon the unbelievers. Come on. Amen. But I tell you, God wants you to look through his eyes. And that's really important. God must be his own interpreter. Because we've had how many now? 40,000 different denominations today. Amen. Maybe this is not enough entertainment for you. I just, you know, of course we're in the process of building a church, and I'm just looking for ideas. You know, so last night I was late. I just had finished my studies, so I just decided I'd look and see maybe some ideas on some platforms and things that might work for us. And I went through hundreds of scenes of bands and rock and lights and colored lights and smoke and all of these other things and, you know, glamour and everything else. And they said it's all to create an atmosphere of worship for their rock and roll, for their rap music, for everything else. And that's what they centered on. You can hardly find anything that would be what I would consider acceptable in the least. Because again, the church mind is set on entertainment and gathering people together by entertainment and programs and wowing them with lights and smoke and singing and music and dancing and praise teams and on and on and on and on and on. And the word is set aside. You say, Brother Tim, why is such, again, they were saying, platforms, it isn't just for preaching anymore. It's for worshiping, getting, out the message and creating an atmosphere with their smokes and lights and all these other bands and music. And, oh my goodness, it looked like a stage set for a rock scene and on and on and on. And this is modern day Christianity, where the word has been rejected and set aside, and Cain continues to worship, but without a God there to worship, except the same God of the world that the rest of them are worshiping. And here we're trying to hold before you a word, a truth, and it doesn't grip your heart. I'll tell you, same friends, that better grip your heart. It's our only salvation. Amen. We have Christ the Word. And who has been crucified, vilified, mocked, denied, all the time showing signs of his resurrection that he's not dead. Sometimes I hear all the accusation against this message, and I hear some of the roars of voices of the crowds that are screaming out with such vehemence and such anger, crucify him, kill it. And I think, why? What has he done? What has he done? I know what he did for me. It freed me from sin. It set my feet on the rock. I know what it does for others. It cleans them of their dope and their womanizing, their sin and their unbelief. And I just want to say, what has it ever done? Amen. I don't know of anybody that is hurt. I don't know of a life that has been ruined by it. I see lives that have been saved by it. I see lives that have been healed by it. I see marriages that have been saved by it. Homes are reunited, and I just want to cry, what has he ever done? What does he deserve this kind of mocking and spitting upon and vilifying? What has he done? But healed your sick, saved the lost, brought people out of confusion, set their hearts upon the word, got a people ready for a rapture. What has he done but that? What does he deserve? This awful mocking and scorning and ridicule and spitting upon. Because he don't want his wife looking like Sodom. Is that why? He doesn't want you perverted. Is that why? I just say, this is Christ. He's the Word. You say, well, I believe in Christ. If you don't believe in this Word, you don't believe in Christ. Well, I believe in Jesus. Jesus is not the man walking the shores of Galilee. Jesus is here in the form of his Word. That's the form he's appeared in. Abraham saw him and was glad. The seed of Abraham today will see him and be glad. Abraham forsook all. Brother, yeah, he left the Ur of the Chaldeans. He couldn't stay there. Yes, he had to say, that's not the true God. I cannot follow that. I cannot follow the heathen ways of my fathers. I cannot accept the Trinitarian doctrine. I cannot take their false baptisms. I can't take their easy believisms. Amen. There's got to be more to it than that. God has appeared to me. And he separated me. Are you mad because he separated me? I can't help that. Man, come along with me. You know, Abraham, it wasn't just Abraham, it was a whole church of, what was it, 300 and something souls that was together with him. I mean, read the Bible. I mean, he armed his servants. And wasn't there 300 or 500 of his servants that went out there against Lot? I mean, it was not against Lot, but against Sodom to rescue Lot. Amen. What was it? That was a whole church. There was a whole group of Abrahams that he was appearing to, bringing to them, making them the heir of all things. Revealing the mysteries too. Keeping them out of Sodom. Look at what was going on. Abraham had forsaken all to follow. He held to that promise for years and years. Now, 25 years. You think that's something? We've been waiting 2,000 years. But look at it. 7 Gentile church ages. Didn't he say this would be? Amen. Here he is, now 100 years old, and he is up in the field. Is maybe, you know, I know there are ways that will, and there are times that Abraham is rich with houses, or not houses, but flocks and lambs and so on, because the animals there were the price of the field and so on. But nevertheless, you know, here he was. He wouldn't go down to Sodom. He had the opportunity, but he was given, incredulously, a barren land to be his inheritance. It looked like nothing. Are you with me, church? Amen. It looked like nothing. Here's Sodom. It looks like a Garden of Eden. It is Satan's Eden. And in comparison, it looks like nothing. And Lot, he comes down to that choice. Does he stay with the word, or does he leave and go down to Sodom? And Lot goes down there. He begins to live in very luxurious, you know, with all the things he wanted. Wasn't easy. Wasn't easy out here on this promise. Come on now. Wasn't convenient out here. You might have to drive 2 hours to church. You might have to wait in the border for an hour or so. You know, there can be a lot of different hindrances. Not an easy way. Come on. Amen. You know, it would be more convenient if you could just go down to the neighborhood church and find one that was good in the neighborhood and helping with society. And oh my, you know, the mayoral candidate and everybody else goes there and they do good things for others. Listen, there's no denial of that. Lot was down there, and he still was a righteous man, even though he was in Sodom. We're going to get to it in a minute, because we're not saying Lot is going to be lost. We're saying God, whatever, save him. That's Abraham. Whatever you have to do, Lord, save him. Amen. Whatever, don't let him be destroyed with the wicked. We are preaching that there's going to be a whole multitude out there that will be saved in the tribulation period. Or actually saved this side of the tribulation, but nevertheless in there, they will give their lives and will be at the white throne judgment and will be given life. Are you with me? That's what we're preaching. Lot living luxurious down there. Sarah, maybe once the most beautiful woman in the land, she kind of deprived. She's just got a tent. You know, her church just isn't real glamorous. And you don't compare with them. And we don't want to try. Say, well, you're building a new church. I wouldn't if I didn't have to. But I'll tell you this much. There again, our emphasis is not on buildings and structures. Our emphasis is on leaving here. and finding that last one. Come on, church. Amen. But there she was, luxurious down here. She was the mayor's wife. She belonged to a church. It was a great church. And oh, she could have a, you know, be a part of the societies. And, you know, and when it came, she didn't want to leave that. Did she even come and turn back? And she turned to a pillar of salt because she loved the world better and she loved to obey that angel's voice. I wonder, and I'm just going to ask you, what is the biggest reason people are pulled towards Sodom today? Well, you can worship with their music. You can have their Christian rock and rap. You can have their country music. You can wear their clothes.
That's right.
You can have their hairstyles.
Amen.
You can marry two or three, four times.
Right.
You can shack together if you want to. And nobody's got a right to judge you.
That's it, brother. Say it.
Yep.
You can live any kind of life you want to. Just go to church when you feel like it. You don't have to have any sort of real dedication. You know, just maybe when there's a calamity or there's a problem or whatever, you know, you do good things and bring an extra set of canned goods to help with the poor needy or whatever.
Amen.
Belong to the society, get high praise of man.
Amen.
Walk down the mall and, you know, you look the same. You look just like all the other sodomites. Women can cut their hair and wear their makeup and wear man's apparel and, oh, it doesn't hurt their conscience. They never felt so free. You see, Sodom influenced Lot. It tainted his family to the point that Lot's wife looked back and even his daughters was so tainted by that, they committed those horrible sex acts with their father afterwards. Yet, they were saved. They were saved. They were saved out of the fire. Amen. Come on. There's a burning that's coming. I'm not just talking about a world burning. I'm talking about a lake of fire. Amen. Now there's three classes of people. There's the unbeliever, there's the sodomites, this, you know, that's them. There's just the halfway lukewarm, cold church members. That was Lot. If all I can get you to be is that, I'm glad I got you to go that far. But I got higher ambitions for you than just be a lukewarm church member. Amen. I've got an ambition for you to be an Enoch that is dedicated. Come on. Amen. That's consecrated. I'm talking about that has their whole heart. Their whole heart into it. Everything. They're not giving 100%. They're giving 110%. Amen. They're dedicated. They're consecrated. They've got a vision of this end time. They don't want to miss a service because they know they can miss God. The angels elect called out churches, Abraham and his group. These angels came to Abraham and his group. And then two of them, like modern evangelists, went right down to the church denominational. Until we've had men that stood up that we could identify as leaders of those movements. And I just want to say it. Billy Graham is not an angel to Sodom. The angel to Sodom, the angel to Lot, is a work of the Holy Ghost. It's an angelic anointing. He just happens to be anointed by it. Oral Roberts was not one of the messengers to Sodom. So, well, one of the messengers have died. No, he was one of the many anointed. And we could identify him as a leader, you know, that epitomized the whole movement there of the Pentecostal side of this whole thing and the charismatic move as it moved in toward ecumenism and so on and on. And it, you know, it became a message to Sodom. And we see them on all sides, men that are doing good deeds. And I want to say, anointed by the Holy Spirit to do those deeds. Listen, them people are going to be saved this side of the tribulation. Well, there's got to be somebody anointed then to preach to them that brings them to that salvation. But on the other hand, there's got to be a message to the Abraham group. A man who sees the sign of his appearing, who recognizes him for what he is and who he is, and the mysteries are revealed to, and the body change comes to. And to that group, you don't have to yell and holler, "Get out of Sodom." It's already left it. Amen. It's been called out by the Holy Ghost and left Sodom a long time ago. Amen. It forsook Sodom. She's living out here by herself. It's separated. Amen. Because that's what the church is. The called out. The separated. Come out from among them. Touch not their unclean things. I heard that message years ago. I heeded that message. And if you hadn't done that, you're still down in Sodom. Amen. And if you started that direction, you pitched your tent towards Sodom. Amen. You just become church member and lukewarm. But you got to separate yourself and get away from the things of the world and come out and live a clean and holy life and walk in the commandments of God, where the word is esteemed, where the word has preeminence. Those two angels went down to Sodom. They didn't do a lot of miracles down there. There's only one miracle they did. They smote the people blind. Come on. And that's what the preaching of the word does. It smites people blind. And the great evangelists just went out on the field as we've seen them. We see them. They're in the Baptist, Methodist movements, Pentecostal, so on like that. Smites people blind. It don't perform miracles. It just smites them unbelievers, them Sodomites, blind by the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word that Jesus is the Son of God. And some of them actually are saved out of there. And some of them are blinded. By the same preaching of easy believism. I'm going to heaven. Light one cigarette off of another. Marry three or four times. Go right on in their sins. And yet they're saved because they made this confession. And other people get really changed. Why is that? Genesis 19:10. But the man put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great. So they wearied themselves to find the door. Always, always trying. So you have these self-help programs and, you know, all of this to help you with your drug habit and help you with your adultery and help you with this. They're always trying to find the door. But they really can never find something that will change the life. And they weary themselves trying to find the door. And yet, at the same time, some, like Lot, get led to safety, while the same angels blind the eyes of the others. There are a few that are pulled to safety. They reform. They change. They quit their womanizing. They're drinking. They stop their doping. Some become model citizens. Saved out of Sodom. Hey, I just described some of you. What separates Lot then from Abraham? Abraham's receiving a message. The same thing. The same thing happened to Abraham. He wasn't womanizing and drinking and doping and whatever else. Come on. But what was he? What was the difference between him and Lot? Lot was down in Sodom there and vexed. Oh, it troubled him with all of the homeless kids. It troubled him because the drinking and drugs, and we'll have a program for the kids and try to get them in and help them and that one and the other. And so, you know, we'll have a soup kitchen to feed all the hungry and the homeless and help people out. And, you know, we'll do some good things and surely we can influence some and maybe they'll find the door. Or we'll have church like this and we'll have a rock band come in here and, you know, we'll sing for Jesus and beat on the drums and the organs and the pianos and the guitars and we'll have smoke and lights and whatever else. And maybe somebody will find Jesus and quit their drinking. Or some teen will not commit suicide and find hope. Put their child up for adoption instead of abortion. Lot. Some become model citizens. I'm not trying to make you a model citizen.
Amen.
Sure, I want you to quit your drinking, your doping,
Amen.
Your running around on your wife or your husband.
Amen.
Yes, I want to see a cleaning up of your life, but I want more than that.
Amen.
I want you changed
Yes.
where that the angel appears in you.
Amen.
And he's not just appearing unto you, but he's appearing to you personally in your life. Living in you with a nature change. Amen. And his faith coming into you. And you believing. Him revealing the mysteries of the end time. Imparting a change of your body. That's what I want for you. Now, but there are others that, even though some get saved out of Sodom, there are others that become blinded by this preaching of easy believism. Never find the door, even though they become religious, become church members even. Still with their drinking habit, and, you know, still with their sex problem. You got a sex problem preacher in the pulpit, married three times, and deacons that are like that, and whatever, very religious, homosexual, singing in the choir. Jesus loves them. We don't judge. Still smoking their marijuana? Being a deacon in the church? Still telling their dirty jokes? Dabbling a little bit in pornography? Losing half their paycheck at the boats? But that's okay. They go to a little reform school or whatever and learn not to do that or how to control it a little better. Lot. Still marrying, divorcing, remarrying. Otherwise, some of them still shacking up with their partners. But hey, they love Jesus. Become church members. Two angels. Going down. Anointings. I want you to get the picture. This is God coming down. And he's sending down anointings to save some out of the burning. You talk about mercy, friends. This is mercy. People talk about mercy is over, friend. Mercy is, oh my goodness, mercy has been extended. To even cover beyond the bride. To even cover those who will go through the tribulation period. Mercy. Do you realize how mercy is unleashed under the fifth seal, that those Jews that never even accepted Jesus down to the 2,000 years of Gentiles, but because of the testimony which they held, they were sincere and loved God in their heart and seed of Abraham, God gave them white robes?
Right. Amen. Yes, sir.
That's mercy.
Yes, sir.
Do you realize he takes our people in a rapture and there's people that are left over that are saved in the tribulation? That's mercy. Do you realize that after all of that, he sends two prophets down and here he witnesses to Israel and saves out of them 144,000. That's mercy. Angelic spirits, anointings. Three groups of people. Believers. These lukewarm believers, we call them make-believers, because they just simply can't quite have enough faith to believe. Now some of them are just plain out Judases. Make-believers all the way around. But some of them just don't quite grasp enough faith to believe all the word. But the coming of the anointing to the Abraham group is to get Sarah to believe it all. Come on, church. This is exactly what he's trying to do. He's trying to spark faith in her heart that she can believe in the impossible. Now, some are like Lot. You know, they really never had the fullness of God appear to them. It was Abraham that God appeared to. Lot went along with Abraham. He's a good fellow. Influenced, but somehow never fully convinced. You see, he couldn't see the promised land was for him. Instead, he found a home down in Sodom. Now, I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. And we're going to read. And I know you're thinking, you know, Brother Tim, you're just condemning us all and you know, and calling us all Lot. Well, maybe you are a Lot. Maybe that's who you are, it's just Lot. But what I'm trying to tell you is God wants to reveal himself to you where you won't be just a Lot anymore, but you'll be an Abraham. Amen. That's what God wants to do with you. You don't, listen, you might think sometimes, Brother Tim, the thing we are preaching, you're calling me a Judas. Well, maybe I am. And maybe a Judas, a betrayer, is what you've been. But you don't have to stay that way. You can do something about it today. You can repent. You don't have to remain a Judas. You might be a Peter, been a denier. But he's here this morning to appear to you, to let you know. Go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm appearing. And you don't have to remain a denier, but you can be one with the keys and give somebody the key to get into the kingdom. You don't have to remain a denier. And turn into cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and Ashes. Condemn them with an overthrowing, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. So now we know they're an example. And delivered just Lot, vexed. Now this word here means worn out, exhausted with labor. Listen, I find a lot of good, righteous people today that are just exhausted, worn out. I ain't even talking about bride members. I'm talking about in the world today. Vexed. Worn out. They're grieved. They're grieved because America's dying. They're grieved because of the sins in the White House and all the way down. They're sickened because, you know, a man told me the other day, you know, I was, you know, I... He said, I got news, and he says, of the political system and whatever that has been done, and how that, you know, the Democratic Party went out into California being the swing state and being the biggest voters, and they gathered up all of the different ones and said, listen, if you're homeless or you're homosexual or you're, you know, an actrix or whatever you are, you know, whatever thing that you're in, you know, if you're Hispanic or you know, minority or whatever else, we'll take care of you, and you know, you just come and join our party and vote us in, we'll take care of you. And he said, I was so sick for days afterwards. He said, my blood pressure shot through the ceiling, and for a year I was sick because of America going down the drain. And we see it, and it ain't gonna get no better. And I get emails from good Christian people who are vexed. They're vexed because of all the things, the laws that are being passed. All the way from the vegans to the homosexuals to the, you know, oh, on and on and on and on that are, have the, everybody's got their agenda of their rights. Except for the real believer, he doesn't have any rights anymore. People get vexed. They're worn out. Christian people. Good people. Exhausted with labor. Oh, we'll go out. We'll get the Tea Party and they're corrupt. And then we'll get this, and we will have this, and surely we can turn America back to God. And they work, and they work, and they work, trying to turn the tide. Good people in the school systems. Educators, some of them good. Many of them not good. Some of them really genuine people wanting to make a difference with a young person. Trying to help, vexed. And worn out, exhausted by labor, with the filthy, unbridled lust, the filthy conversation, unbridled lust and conduct of the wicked, and they're worn out by it. They see the woes in the society. They see abortion rising, and you get them, you know, some of them rallied, and we'll try to vote this down, and we will try to bring some righteousness here, and they're working and they're trying. These are lots. See, getting worse and worse. See the debt of America going up so high. There's no hope for their children, their grandchildren. You see their taxes being wasted on every kind of thing, and taxes rising until, you know, they're again over and over, and things forced down on us. Our Supreme Court won't stand up for us. Verse 8, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful or their wicked deeds. Amen. Men will, good man will try to become a politician and then go to Washington and be a voice, and all the clamor of Sodom and the pressure gets put up on him, and all of the liberals and everything else until he has to back down and his hands are tied. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But Lot was backslid. He was not going to lose his soul. Now this is the prophet's word. He's backslid. He was not going to lose his soul. He was going to lose his reward. Stop a minute. These people are not going to lose their soul. They're going to lose their reward. What is the reward? What is the reward, church, that we are looking for? The change of our body. the meeting in the air. Come on, somebody. To escape this judgment that's coming, and they're going to stand at the judgment. So he said Lot didn't lose his soul. He wasn't going to lose his soul. He was going to lose his reward. Amen. So again, what reward do we have in view? The rapture. Amen. Now, to remember to find out whether he had spark in his heart, we find out in the Bible that the sins of that people vexed his righteous soul. So he had a little spark down inside. He had been moved, let's just say, in the Billy Graham meeting, and he gave his heart to God, or maybe something similar to that, or Oral Roberts and whatever else. Somewhere his heart was touched. Lot down in Sodom, a lukewarm Christian, a nominal Christian, because the Bible says the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul. But he did a little about it. Let him come to church. Let him come into his church dressed any way they want to. Act the way they want to. Smoke, drink, gamble, do anything. What do you see? I drive down the streets of Shreveport. See the signs? Christian church. Traditional service at 9:30, 10:30. Rock and roll bands. Contemporary. Drive past the Lutherans, they got the same thing. The next one's got the same thing. They're all trying to outdo the other with their program. Gonna win some young person to Christ. Attracting them with their rock and roll. Just love Jesus. Some of them get so deceived that just because they, I confess, I accept Jesus as my Savior, and they go right on in their adulteries, their sins, their wickedness, their whatever else, but they're saved and going to heaven. They're so blinded. Amen. Like I said, Don't think that for a moment I'm trying to identify you as a Lot. I'm trying to say you're an Abraham. That you've been called out and separated, and there's a message came to you, and that message is for a change of your body and the coming of the promised Son that we've waited on for 2,000 years. Listen, Brother Branham speaks of this, and God's Word calls for separation from unbelief. He said, Jesus said it would come again. As it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Again, the Spirit of God will come down, will come upon mortal human flesh. That man ate the meat of a calf, drinking the milk from a cow, ate butter and bread and human flesh. And Abraham said he was Elohim, God manifested in the flesh. Jesus promised that God before His coming would be manifested in human flesh again. That's the Holy Spirit. There's only one God manifests Himself, separating again Lot from Abraham. What's the difference? Come on. To the Abraham group, He comes in flesh. I'm not talking about William Branham alone. I'm talking about your flesh. Don't you realize you are the greatest sign that there is, and the last sign to this generation that God, the Holy Spirit, would come down and tabernacle man again exactly like He did on the day of Pentecost. Not with just justification or sanctification or work of the Spirit, but the Spirit Himself would come and take on flesh and bones. And God would work His works through. So, well, I hadn't had a divine healing service. No, that's not His works in you, little sister. Well, I hadn't preached. Well, that may not be His works in you, my brother. But He's going to work in every member of that body according to the calling that they've been given. Come on, church. Amen. Oh, yeah, He'll work in a young person. He'll work in a grandfather, a grandmother. So I don't have any purpose here anymore. You've got a purpose. You can be a light in this generation. Amen. Don't go to say, I have no purpose. As long as you hear, you have a purpose. Fulfill that purpose. If you can sing, be an anointed singer. Get in there with all your heart. If you can praise, amen, do whatever. If you can be a deacon, if you can be a trustee, if you can just come to church and say amen, then get in there and do your part. Amen. Make a difference. Hallelujah. Lot, a type of the carnal believer, who didn't think these things were true. And he just went on down to Sodom. He just couldn't believe seven angels came identified in a cloud. And it was a sign of his coming. He just couldn't believe. The seven seal book don't mean anything to me. It's just confusion. Well, it's never been confusion to me. I don't know what you're talking about. Church age book? Well, it just separates, you know, people and makes them think they're special. Well, what do you think the revelation to Abraham did? I'm setting you aside. I'm calling you out of the world. You are a different people. You are separated. And I'm circumcising you. I'm giving you a personal sign that you do not belong with them. You are claimed by me. And the issue out of you is claimed by me. Amen. So you say, oh, it makes them feel special. Well, duh. Amen. It's because he appeared to me. And it's how it makes me, it does make me feel special. It does make me different. It does identify me. Well, Lot didn't think these things were true. After all, you know, he found fault with Abraham. Well, looky there. He went down to Egypt. I might as well go to Sodom. Look at the trouble he got down in there. Well, looky here. You know, he left the land of promise and wavered. He didn't do everything right. He had faults. He was human. May have been that he did have faults and was human. But the fact is, God chose him. He didn't see anything in that land of promise that he wanted. Sodom was more attractive. What's in that old land full of stones, cacti? Hardly enough to supply for me and Abraham. Our crops are they, you know, there's famines that comes and they have to depend on water from heaven and revivals, and they get dry and famines come and they're just like anybody else. What's so special about this promised land? Well, I'll tell you what's special about it. What is special about it is God chose that very place. That he would come down and reveal himself. And it would be there that he would walk on the shores of Galilee. And he would raise up those who were buried in that promised land. And all the mighty things that he would do in that land. That he wouldn't be doing down in Sodom. And he wouldn't be doing down in Egypt. What's in that promised land? A promised son? I don't care how barren it looks right now, don't you leave it. Don't you stray down to Egypt. Don't you go down to Sodom. It is here in that word. It's here in that promise that the promised son will come. And he can't bless you outside of that word. Well, in that place, Jehovah would come down, discern hearts, get Sarah to believing, would change her and Abraham. In that place, I'll tell you, that's a pretty special place. Amen. Come on. Don't you know one day, even in that place, the great city Jerusalem will come down from heaven and settle down there? Don't you know that place is where up on that very same mountain where he offered up Isaac is the very same place that Jesus came and was offered up? I tell you, that was a very special place. And I'm telling you, this word that we have been given is a very special place. As I said, don't leave it. So, well, it don't mean anything. It does mean something. Well, nothing's happened. We've been waiting 2,000 years. Yeah? Sarah?
Come on.
He's trying to get you to believe. That's why he's appearing among us. To get you on the page. Get you on the right page where you'll start believing. Where you'll see the value in this promised land. Oh, I could be down in Sodom. And oh, I could have a nice home. And oh, I hear Miss Lot is down there. She's got a waterhead hairdo. And I've always... Oh, come on. You've always wanted to look like Sodom? You've always wished you could? I've heard women say to me, I wish the message wasn't against earrings. I just love earrings. We just can't look cute. You know, this message is so limited. We can't look sexy and all of that. You know, we just can't be glamour girls. And I'll never fit on a glamour magazine.
Thank the Lord.
Yeah, thank the Lord I won't. I was talking for you, Sarah, not for me. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But Brother Branham said that believers are like a bunch of change in your pocket. Out of your pocket in God's hands. Believers. You pull out a bunch of change, there's nickels and pennies and dimes and quarters and half a dollars and dollars all in coins. And that's what the world is in God's hands. There are some people that can just have a penny's worth of it. And God can only use them in a penny way. That's all they can buy. But don't reject them. You know, even me. I'm as stiffed and stove up I am at almost 60. I'll pick up a penny.
Amen.
Amen. I'll look down and see a nickel and pick it up. Amen. Pennies ain't worth very much. You know, all it can buy is a penny's worth, whatever that is. I don't even know what a penny can buy anymore. But you know what? Here's what he says. Don't reject them. If they can't believe the real truth, don't turn them down. Don't kick them out and say they're not in it, because God uses pennies sometimes. Sure they do. With their pennies, they build hospitals. I was born in a church hospital, Catholic hospital, Chumford in Shreveport. The other day, they asked me, you want to donate a dollar to St. Jude's? Well, I don't believe in the Catholic Church, but I said, yeah, I believe in helping suffering children. You know, don't reject them. They can't believe the real truth. Don't turn them down. Don't kick them out. Like I said, they build hospitals, they help the poor. They relieve suffering humanity. They'll even be the first in a community to rebuild after calamity. You have a fire, they'll be some of the first that will run to your aid and help put clothes on your children or help you with some money or do some good things. And that's wonderful. Thank God for them. Lot was just a penny. Listen, Brother Brandon. Abraham was a silver dollar. So it took 100 lots to make an Abraham. 100 carnal believers will never stand in the presence of a genuine Christian that's separated from the carnal things of the world, living in Christ Jesus where the word can flow through him. He can only take a penny's worth. That's all he's got. You can tell some people, all they can take is a penny's worth. I mean, after a 20-minute sermon, they're gone. They may not even get up and leave, but their mind's done left. Their interest is already gone. You know, so you say, I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in these things. Well, just know it's a penny. Just let him alone. Just a penny's worth. So that's all he can buy. Don't stop him. Just let him alone. Remember, that's all the farther he can go. You see, Lot's faith won't let him believe seven angels came down in a cloud. Oh, it must have been a rocket. There's got to be. And they'll explain this away. How could this be? And how do you explain all this supernatural happening? And you know, this and this and this sign in the heavens. And he'll never see the value of the book being taken by the Lamb and the seals open. He can never believe that God called Abraham and selected him to be a people separated unto him. No, sir. Everybody's going to heaven. You just be a good person. He can only take a penny's worth. That's all he's got. You see, people say, I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in these things. Just know it's a penny, but just let him alone. Just a penny's worth. That's all he can buy. Don't stop him. Just let him alone. Remember, that's all the further he can go. Yeah, I don't mean that hardly in the way I said it. See, I mean, if he just, well, I belong to this and that's what we believe. It's just a penny. Go ahead. See, just a penny. You just say, well, the Lord bless you, my brother. Amen. See, he's copper. He can never be silver. So just let it go ahead. God can use him. And he's using it. Well, listen, Brother Branham. I'd rather see him down in a church than to see him in a bar room. And I'd rather see a church on the corner than a bar room on the corner. Wouldn't you? So just let it alone. God can use it anyhow. Maybe not very much, but he'll use what he can. And I'm just going to tell you, I believe God can use Lecrae Moore. I believe he can use him with his rap songs and get people to come and accept Jesus. And some of them get help. But it'll never take him in a rapture. I believe Lacey Strum can sing her rock and roll and people can come and get refreshed and motivated and do something nice and become a missionary and help suffering humanity. But that's not what this is about. Listen, Brother Branham. He can't believe in discernment and the powers of God that's promised for this day. Those Pharisees couldn't either. They couldn't see Jesus being God. Oh no, you make yourself God, a man? You see, they couldn't recognize it. And I'm going to say, if they can't recognize the God prophet, how in the world do you think that they're going to recognize the seventh angel? One day he's standing there and he multiplied the bread, the loaves of bread, and he said, lest you eat the bread of heaven, bread of the Son of Man's body and drink his blood, there's no life in you. And I imagine his congregation, they walked away from this man, expects us to be a cannibal and eat somebody's flesh. And oh, that's crazy. And doctors and medical doctors and so forth, this man's insane. And that's all there is. The priest is right. That man's crazy. Give us his body to eat. That's all he said. But the spiritual mind, maybe they couldn't understand it. Those disciples, they didn't know exactly what it meant, but they believed it anyhow. Amen. Because where did it come from? It came from the one they knew to be the Son of God. And I may not understand all that's in here, but I believe it. It's God's word, and I want to separate myself from anything that's contrary to it. Hallelujah. Notice the other group, the 70. One day he's standing and says, what? And if you see the Son of Man ascend into heaven from whence he came? And they said, this man, he's taken us to the place that he was born. We know his mother. Why, Mary, we know his brothers. We know them all. And this Son of Man coming and going up to heaven from whence he came from Bethlehem. How did he do that? And he said it in that way, and they walked with him no more. They walked away. All this man, we know there's something wrong with him. Like I said, wasn't long when they were saying, let him be crucified. We will not have him as our king. Well, I'm no ruler but Caesar. Them disciples, they didn't understand all that either. And there's some things you don't understand. There's some things, listen, there's some things you lay on the shelf until God reveals it to you. But I've always found God faithful. Amen? Amen. I didn't question it. I didn't doubt it. I just said, well, I don't understand it. And it's time it made known to me. God reveals it. Oh, I see where that goes now. See how that works. The disciples sat right there. They believed that they had seen the promised word for that day, vindicated and manifested by him. And who could create? Who could create but God himself? Who could take the bread? And they knew he was the Son of God, whether it was in riddles or not, whether they understood it or not. They walked right on anyhow because the word was vindicated and they were separated from anything contrary to it. God help us to have faith like that. We believe the Bible to be the truth. I may not have faith to make all the promises come to pass, but I believe it anyhow. How many would say that this morning? Amen. I may not have the faith to make it all happen, but I believe it. Amen. I know it's the truth. Amen. There come a time Joseph was separated from his brethren without a cause. Look at the type. What was the matter with him? It wasn't his will to separate, but they separated themselves from him, from this bright silver shiny dollar that Joseph was, and their penny's worth just couldn't stand it. They knew they were patriarchs. They knew Jacob was their father. They knew that to be true. And Joseph was born. He couldn't help it. He was spiritual. He saw visions, could interpret dreams, and they were perfectly right. And whatever he said was the truth. And his patriarchs and brothers moved with envy, sold him to the Egyptians. See, they separated themselves because they were pennies, and he was of a different quality. And so is the real believer today. He's of a different quality. They'll separate themselves. They don't understand it. The copper from the silver. And they were moved with envy and sold him. They'll do the same thing today. What about all the patriarchs in this day? The great denominations. And here comes an anointed one with spiritual dreams. With a word from God. And they're moved with envy. Sell him. Come on. Sell him out. Do you understand what I'm saying, church? All these types happen over and over again. You know, if the penny would just say, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, my brother Dollar here. I can't make the change he does, but I'll make what I can, and we could go along. And God would get his program over, but no. They're moved with envy and hatred toward the divine promise. Come on now. They crucified him back 2,000 years ago. They'll also crucify the word in this day. Can I tell you, church, that we are in the hour of crucifixion? But can I also tell you we're in the hour of the resurrection? Amen. Some are moved by the crucifixion and all, they're sad and they're weary and everything else. And some he started appearing to and they're rejoicing and they're saying, but he's not dead. He's alive and he's the same yesterday, today and forever. And he's the healer and the deliverer and the savior. And he's appeared to me. And others are dismayed because we thought he should have been the one to deliver Israel. And to become lukewarm, calloused, burnt out, wore out, vexed,
and going down towards Sodom. Some of them try. They try hard. Do-gooders. They do good. Help the homeless. Feed the hungry. Can you condemn that? A soup kitchen? Oh, brother, they're doing more down there than what you Abraham group's doing. Listen, they're sending missionaries out, teaching them how to plant and raise a crop and lift them out of poverty. Sending medical teams down there to help them and take care of the medical teams. I hope that ain't Abraham's group. I hope Abraham's group's going down there and having a prayer line, casting Satan out, and preaching the gospel and healing the sick. That's what I see Abraham's group doing. But others, you know, oh, they get swept up and, you know, well, we'll do good and maybe get somebody in and teach them the message or, you know, teach them about Jesus. Listen, church. We can have drug programs for the druggies. Help programs of every kind. Let me just go back over it again. Stuart Hamblin had a life-changing experience. Quit his drinking. Started programs. Had some righteous deeds. Men like Lecrae Moore, Lacey Sturm, that we've been talking about in Billy Graham's meeting. They quit their drinking. They stopped their doping. They quit their sin, their, many of their sins, you know. And they've started programs to help. Suffered humanity. How can you go against that? I mean, look, it vexes Lecrae to see fatherless children. He was a fatherless boy himself. Never knew his daddy. Starting programs to help, you know, help young men recognize the values of fatherhood. What's wrong with that? There's nothing wrong with that in itself. Come on, church. But if I get you to be a good daddy to your kids, that still don't deliver you. Maybe I help you out a little bit and make you a little better citizen. And yeah, you need to be a good daddy. Need to be a mentor. You need to be a straight shooter. You need to be live right first. We can have programs here for your marriages. Save your marriage. That's good. Maybe make you realize the value of your wife or your mate or your husband, rather. Maybe make you realize all of that. But friends, if I just get you filled with Jesus, it take care of all of that. Listen, Jesus in your life will make you take care of your children. Jesus in your life will make you true to your wife. There won't have to be somebody kicking you in the rear, or some government standing over you telling you to take care of your children. You'll do it because Jesus in your life and the fatherhood of God is there portraying through you, and you'll be a real daddy. But I can have programs that'll teach you how, you know, to reform you a little bit. But that don't change your heart. Lacey Strum, Lecrae Moore, they quit their drinking. It vexes them. He gives some of his millions to programs to encourage fathers to take responsibility. He knows how Sodom took his father from him. And he longs for a father. And he don't want other children to grow up like he did. The Bible said that the sins of Sodom vexed the righteous soul of Lot daily. how that man's soul was righteous, and he looked out upon the sins of the land, and he knew that it was wrong and that what they were doing wrong, but he didn't have the courage to stand for his convictions. No wonder the whole world has become a Sodom and Gomorrah. And how that the lots today across the nation, around the world, standing in churches, who would convince that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And His power is just as real today as it ever was. Without the courage to stand in the pulpit and to denounce sin, because some bearer that would excommunicate them from a fellowship that they had joined themselves into, still comes back to the blood of Jesus is the only remedy. And the blood is the Holy Ghost. So I was thinking the other day, the Bible said sins of Sodom vexed the soul of Lot daily. I just thought, how many Lots are there in the United States? Men sitting in their study, good men. Sitting in their study, looking out the window and seeing these modern striptease on the street and carrying on the way they are there. And they can't say nothing about it. They know it's wrong. They can't say nothing about it. 90% of their congregation wear it. Bob-haired women, short wearing shorts, men smoking cigarettes, taking social drinks, telling dirty jokes. They know better than to say that. If they do, their denominational headquarters, they stir up something like that, they'd be excommunicated for it. See, a modern Lot, not the common audacity, not the spiritual truth within them. Enough grace to stand that will look upon sin and can't call it out. But God give us an Abraham that will separate themselves from these things. Amen. Amen. Lot, he goes on to say, is a type of the denominational church down in Sodom. The Bible said the sins of Sodom vexed his righteous soul daily. Why? He didn't have enough nerve to stand out against it. And there's many a good man sitting in church today looking out, seeing women with shorts on, men doing these things, and members going, playing golf on Sunday and picnic parties and swimming instead of attending church. Sitting home on Wednesday night watching television instead of attending church. And they feel like saying something about it, but the board would put them out. What's the matter? It's Lot again. Looking out his window and seeing the sins and afraid to call sin, sin. What if it was when Billy Graham went down, going up for a decision, chewing gum, punching one another, laughing, bobbed hair, painted faces, not enough of a move about it. Not even make a bit of move about it. Come back the next day and Billy said, I have 30,000. Come back in a year and hadn't got 30. Oh, I made a decision. I ain't going to hell. I'm going to heaven. See, I'm waiting right on in sin. Multitude. Read your Bible, Revelation 7. There's a multitude without number whose robes have been washed. And billions more that have been blinded. A multitude without number. Good people in this generation affected by an anointing from heaven. That anointing anoints men like Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and others to encourage people in righteousness so they won't be lost. But at the same time, it's blinding many. Even with just Lot, who continued to drink, and he lay with his daughter and bore children by them. You see, the Sodomites had affected his whole family more than he wanted to admit. However, there's another group. Thank God there's another group. He said, I'll have a bride without spot or wrinkle. Come on, church. She was granted she should be arrayed in white raiment, clean and white, which is the righteousness of the saints. However, there's this other group, that Abraham group, who has received from God the revelation of the mysteries. And has been promised a long-awaited son will come. What do you say, Brother Tim? He ain't come yet. He has to me. Well, the meeting in the air ain't taking place. Yeah, but he's appeared to me. Come on, church. He comes and appears to me in his resurrection. In his power. Amen. It won't be long. And I'm just going to tell you, because I'm prophesying now, it won't be long and the dead in Christ will be appearing with him. Amen. And when they do, we're going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. But right now, he's appearing. Amen. And he's revealing to me what it takes to leave this world. And that I'm not a part of Sodom. And I'm not a part of the burning. I'm not a part of the judgment that's coming. But I'm part of his appearing. I say, oh God, let him appear in me this morning. Let him appear in this church. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There's this bunch of Christians, lukewarm believers, that represent the church living among them. Lot and his people, holiness people, sins of the city, vexed his righteous soul. And there was an elected group that Abraham had called out, and each one of them received a sign. And I believe that the sign that the angel of God, the Lord, did manifest in flesh was a sign of the manifestation of Christ in his church in the last days. Jesus said of St. John 14:12, the works that I do shall you do also. A little while the world and the world order will see me no more, yet you shall see me. Amen. The church, the believers, the called out, the elected, for I, not someone else, I, the personal pronoun, I'll be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Then, if he's the same today as he was then, he's the same Savior. He's the same healer. He's the same high priest. He's the same Lord. He's just as he was then, only instead of living in a corporal body named Jesus, God is living in his church. Your body, my body, that he sanctified with his own blood, that he might cleanse us by the washing of the water, by the word, and present to God a church without spot or wrinkle. Hallelujah. The works that I do shall he do also. Now, let's bring it on down now. We just got just a little more time. Recognize your day. Recognize the appearing. Abraham saw it and was glad. I've seen it and I'm glad. Have you seen it? That's the question. Have you seen it? Has he appeared to you? Amen. Then you're glad. Amen. You're enraptured. You're caught up. It's your ecstasy. It's your joy. Amen. It's your greatest love. It's your everything. Amen. Recognize your day. Recognize your hour. Recognize the signs. Recognize the angelic anointings at this appearing. You see, Jesus mixed in his dialogue of doom and destruction to Jerusalem because they were rejecting their Messiah. The greatest of all prophets. Think about what was happening. Not only a prophet, but Jehovah himself. Now in a form that they didn't recognize because he didn't come in the way they were looking for him. Can I say it to you? What we've seen in this day with Jehovah himself. Appearing in flesh. Using a prophet. Come on, somebody. Saying things that a man couldn't say. Telling us things that a man couldn't tell. I'd say that was none other than Jehovah. Who would take a man's body over and move him into another realm. And bring that other realm alive and real. That's Jehovah. Jesus was Jehovah in a form they didn't recognize. And they crucified him. He didn't come the way they looked for him. He was rejected. Don't you know the Gentiles will reject him? Just like the Jews rejected him. Come on, how many were saved in that day? Wasn't a huge number. How many were the real elect in that day? Wasn't a huge number. How many were in the upper room? How many disciples? How many wouldn't walk with him no more? How many of the religious world in that day received him? Don't you know it will be that way in this end time? Jesus spoke of it as it was. In that day they mocked and rejected and vilified and humiliated. The anointings that came to them, somebody help me preach. Amen. Made fun of, mocked it, perverted it, wanted to pervert it. Come on. Bring them out so we can have sex with them. Amen. They wanted to mock and humiliate and everything else. The very anointing of God. Then they come in the days of Jesus and they did that very thing to him. They marred him as no other man was marred. They crucified him. They put all their vengeance out on him. The man. The one. God himself who had come to save them. And this Gentile world closes out the same way. Luke 19 and verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou at least in this thy day, the things which belong to thy peace, but now they're hid from thine eyes. Blindness was coming on. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not thy time of visitation. Same thing happens to the Gentiles, church. Another translation said, but as they come closer to Jerusalem and he saw the city ahead, he began to cry, eternal peace was within your reach and you turned it down. I want to say to Christendom today, the rapture was in your reach, but you turned it down. Amen. And now it's too late. And I tell you, it grieves the heart of God. The Bible said he was grieved in the days of Noah. He was grieved. He was grieved in the days of Sodom. He was grieved in that day. And he's grieved again in this day. And it grieves every saint of God. Your enemies will pile up earth against your walls and encircle you and close in on you and crush you to the ground and your children within you. And your enemies will not leave one stone upon another. For you have rejected the opportunity God offered you. There the day he died, he rent the veil in two. Come on, this was no small deed. There were two curtains in Herod's temple. One at the huge gated entry into the temple, and the other separating the holiest of holies, the main sanctuary. These curtains were said to be 60 feet long, 30 feet wide, and as thick as the palm of a man's hand. Bigger than mine. I got a boy's hand. Man's hand. We're told that these curtains were so heavy that 300 priests were needed to manipulate each one of them. The curtain being torn from top to bottom was a sign from God. Amen. It was an omen indicating that God's hand had torn it in two and that his presence was leaving that holy place. And I just want to say again, the veil has been ripped. Man's traditions have been pulled apart by the lightning hand of God. And it shows, it's a sign, God is no longer in the denominational system anymore. He isn't present anymore. He isn't there anymore. And there's no mercy there anymore. But you think that keeps people from going back into there? The words of Jesus was, leave this place. Come out from among her. When you see Jerusalem compassed about with armies, and when you see the demons of hell is camped around the church religious system today, run. Your enemies are piled earth against your walls. In the month of August, in 70 AD, this is 30, 40 years after Jesus made this prophecy. There was a Roman military force of about 30,000 troops under the command of Titus. They marched into Jerusalem and they began a systematic slaughter of the Jews and the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem, just as Jesus had foretold some 40 years before. The Romans brutally slaughtered, listen now, nearly, it was an estimated 600,000. That's over a half a million. 600,000 people in Jerusalem. Many of them were Passover visitors who had been trapped there for 143 days during the Roman siege. Can you imagine this? Jesus had said, I'm going to give you a sign. Here's when Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. When you see her encompassed with armies, don't you stay in the city. You take what you got. If you got something in the house, stop. Don't go down and get it. Run! Flee to the mountains. Pray that your flight won't be on a Sabbath day. Where the gates are closed, pray that it won't be in the winter. Going to be great times. You know, you're going to have to flee. And can you believe these Jews having these armies surrounded? The Roman soldiers now surrounding them, not letting any of the zealots out. And they come in wanting in there. Passover time. Hundreds of them coming to celebrate Passover. Allowed passage into the city. But couldn't get out. Can you imagine this? And Jesus had given a strict warning. Don't go back in there. Run! Flee! There had been a message that had said, come out of her! There won't be one stone left upon another. There had been a message of deliverance. But here they go, right with their same old form of worship. After the veil had been written, it had been rent in two. Are you with me, church? After it exposed that God wasn't in there anymore. There's no power to deliver anymore. Come on, church. Here again. And these people now become trapped in there 143 days during the Roman siege. And many of the people who were not killed by the Roman soldiers were shipped off to gladiator games. You know what that means? They captured them. Take them down to make sport of them. Turn them loose and the lions eat them. Turn them loose and slaughtered by a sword, the gore. Until the crowd was such a rage, bloodthirsty for more. And it's the spirit of this age. One gory movie after another gory gladiator scene. How can you be a Christian and feed on that? Shipping them away. Jewish people. Roman, they were taking down the Roman mines to work in the mines. Scattered throughout the Roman Empire and other nations. Within 3 years, all traces of a self-ruling Jewish nation had completely disappeared. And that nation has been abandoned until this day. Where you again now are seeing the flag of Jerusalem back, or the flag of Israel back over Jerusalem. And a nation of Jews established there. Miracles of miracles. Because Jesus had given us another sign. Come on, somebody. He had given us another sign that he said it would happen until the days of the Gentiles were finished. That Jerusalem would be trodden down by the Gentiles. And you are here seeing that sign. You see now the Israel as a nation. You see the fig tree putting forth its buds. You see all these signs. Are you going to miss your signs too? Are we going to sleep here in Laodicea and let it just go by and be lukewarm and cold and formal? Josephus records that the Romans put the city and the temple to torch. And these fires were still burning a month later. It was recorded that Titus had given his men strict orders. Somebody help me preach now. And just stay with me just a minute. Strict orders. That they would not burn the city. That they would not burn the temple. But those men had got so angry at all the months of the siege and the taunts. And they were so bloodthirsty for blood. Until he couldn't control his men and they threw torches into the temple. And they began to break down its wall and slaughter the priests and murder little children and kill everywhere. You talk about a slaughtering weapons, brother. They went through there killing everything. Hauling young girls off for slaves and others there for like I said, for gladiator sports and on and on and on and on. And it went on that the fires raged inside and out. And the fires got so hot until the gold fittings and the gold gilding inside and that was on the outside of the walls melted and ran into the cracks between and in the stones and during the pillaging of the temple, these stones were broken up to get the gold. And it fulfilled Jesus' prophecy that there wouldn't be one stone left on another. The destruction was just total, just like Jesus said. But I want to ask you something. Where were the believers? Where were the Christians? Not a one of them was in there. They had heard, come on, they had received a message. When you see or compassed about, flee, leave it, get out of it. Let me tell you, the judgment is upon this world. It's upon this nation. It's upon the church world. They will go through a tribulation, but there won't be one bride member in there because they have received a message. And that message is, run, escape. Come out of her, my people, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Jesus had said these words in Matthew 24, verse 15. When ye therefore see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Luke prophesied and said it this way. He used the words of Jesus. When you see her compass about with armies, don't go back in that city. Verse 16 says, and let them which are in Judea Flee to the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not take down anything out of his house. Neither let him that's in the field return back to his, take his clothes. And woe to them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight not be in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And then, for then shall be great tribulation, such as what was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What is this talking about? You say this is here was greater than the Great Tribulation. Listen, for 2,000 years there's been a persecution of the Jewish race. And even in our day, 6 million were shamelessly slaughtered. And continues while the world largely looks the other way and criticizes the Jews for their homeland and for defending their own homeland. Don't you realize where we're at, church? Verse 22, and said, and except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, the days shall be shortened. And God's going to send 2 messengers, Elijah and Moses, to them. That will bring an end to that persecution. Come on, church. Amen. Come on, church. An end to that persecution with the rapture of their prophets. And I don't know how they get there, but they're in the millennium, so they must be raptured with them. Because there's a rapture after our rapture. Listen. Listen, Brother Branham, he will come in judgment upon the nations. And while he's been revealed in mercy, oh, hurry, ye hither, run quickly. Children, get away from these man-made Babylonian theological walls of unbelief and cold formalism. Run away from man-made theology. Get out in the middle of the field in God's grace and there scream for mercy. For it is his blood of his own son that gives mercy to us. Get away from this old world of doubt. Get away from your superstition. Accept the message of mercy and his message of deliverance and flee to the middle of his grace and their scream, oh Jesus, the Son of God, have mercy upon me. For the walls of these man-made doctrines is going to crumble and perish with the unbelieving world. For they believe not. For they that believe not perish with those who believe not. The world of unbelief perish with those who believe not. But righteous Lot was taken out, and so was Noah. Think of it. Amen. Think of it, he says. Oh, there ought to be a prayer in our hearts today. Lord, let me be more than a Lot. Let me be more than a Noah. Let me be an Enoch and an Abraham. Jesus, weeping over Jerusalem. It's his mercy that moves him, church. I come to call on you to make a difference. Are you so concerned about other things that you give me a cold shoulder? I cried out to you through your servants and you wouldn't listen. Is it too late? How many causes Jesus to weep today as they pass up their day of visitation and their time of opportunity? Let's examine these words in Luke 17, verse 33, as we come to a close. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it. Listen, if Lot would have tried to save his luxurious life in Sodom, he would have lost by losing and giving up that life. But his life was preserved. People want to hold on to Laodicea, trying to preserve this life here. You're going to lose your life eternally. Flee to the mountain of God's grace. Don't go back to get anything out of Sodom. Don't look back. Judgment has been struck on it. I'll tell you, in that night, there shall be 2 men in 1 bed. 1 taken, 1 left. 2 women grinding together. The 1 taken, 1 left. Two men shall be in the field. The one shall be, what does it say? Taken. And the other left. And they answered and said, where, Lord? Where are these people going to be taken? He said, where the body is. Where the word is. Where the fresh killed meat of the word is. The eagles will be taken there. That's where the gathering is going to be. Gathered where? Some are going to the tribulation. Some to the burning. But others to the carcass. What do you eat on the carcass for? Listen, what was Israel told to do before they left in the Exodus? Eat the carcass. Eat the lamb. Because you're going to need the strength of that lamb to leave in the Exodus. What is the message today? Eat the carcass. Eat the word. Get into that word. Get in that message more than you ever have. Because you're going to need the strength of that word to leave from here. Take the body word of that lamb into you. You're going to need his strength. Sarah, you're going to need strength to conceive, to bring back the promised son. You're going to need the strength of this word to take your flight, eagles. Hallelujah. You say, well, this is nothing but just following another man's personality. That's what they thought in Jesus' day. Nothing rose up and led so many into the wilderness and this happened and that. But here he was. And they rejected him. Listen, Brother Branham. And I'm closing on this quotation. I want you to know this for sure, and you that listen to this tape. You might have thought today that I was trying to say that about myself, being that I was packing this message. I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. But it's the will of my Father that I declared to do and determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared down on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I'm not the one that performs these things and foretells these things that happens as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to that he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. Oh no. It was the manifestation, or shall we say, the revealing of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It is not a man. It's God. The angel was not the Son of Man. He was a messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ, and he's the one you're feeding on. You're not feeding on a man. His words will fail. But you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. And I just want to say that. That's exactly the truth this morning. It wasn't that Kentucky preacher. Amen. But it was God using a vessel. It wasn't the man of William Branham. It was God using a prophetic office to bring a word of salvation and a word of deliverance for you. And I am not following a man or his personality. I am eating on the body word of the Son of Man. It wasn't William Branham who revealed these things. It was Christ revealing himself. And it's him I'm in love with. And it's him I am following. Hallelujah! Because I recognize his appearing. And I love his appearing. It's not another personality cult of I'm a Paul and I'm a Apollos. It's not another I'm an Oral Roberts fan or Billy Graham fan or William Branham fan. It has nothing to do with the man. It is God that's unfolded himself. And I didn't see a Kentucky preacher. I saw God.
And today I'm not seeing a little bunch of backwashed people. I'm seeing the bride of Jesus Christ, who He's called out. I can't behave like Lot. I can't do like Lot. Go to church when I feel like it. I'm not that way. I'm not a denominational believer. I go to church whether I feel like it or not. I come to give my sacrifice of praise. I give Him love with all of my heart. I love His appearing and I can't wait. Hey, you say, well, Brother Tim, I can get Him. I can get Him on the internet. You might can. You might hear His voice. You might get stirred. But again, it's, you're not giving your support. You're not here. You're not saying amen. You're not rallying on the word. You're not gathered together with eagles. You don't understand. I know you don't understand. It's lukewarmness that has come upon this people in this day. And people are behaving now like denominational believers because their hearts are going back down to Sodom. I can't help myself, but it's the truth. But I say I'm not going down to Sodom. I'm not a part of Sodom. I am not allowed. He's appeared to me and something struck my heart. And I cannot sleep at night. I can't rest during the day. I got to hear this word. And it's changing me. I want it to change you. I want it to change you. I want it to thrill your heart. I want you a part of this rapture where you're excited and where you're enthused and where you can't wait for the church doors to get open and you're singing and you're worshiping and you're recognizing Him here and you're washing His feet and you're preparing, amen, a welcoming party for my Lord. And you're not coming for entertainment, but you're coming to entertain Him and to make Him welcome. Can we bow our heads together? If you hadn't fully fed on the word, you won't have strength to fly above all these denominations and just be a denominational believer and the things of the world. Why don't you just say today, oh God, these warnings are coming. The anointings are here. I want to be anointed by your Holy Spirit, oh God. That makes a real Abraham out of me. That tells me I'm chosen before the foundation of the world. And that I'm called out to be His bride, a separated people. I want to be His. Would you just play that song? Key of D. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Oh my, don't lose your vision of Jesus right here at this end. Don't lose your vision. There's a race I've got to run. There are victories to be won. There's a Lot group being called out. Listen, if all I can do is get you to be a Lot, thank God to save you from the burning coming. But if I can get you to be a real Abraham, a genuine silver dollar, don't you want to be a silver? Don't you want to give 100%? Don't you want to make a full surrender this morning? Don't you want to get enraptured by this word and thrilled with Jesus? Could you let Him do it this morning? It's a race I've got to run. Nobody else can run this race. You've been called to it. Yeah. Yeah. Won't you ask Him this morning? Don't make Him weep over you. How many times has his heart been broken in this service, trying to move on a heart and weeps over you? Oh, if you could just realize who's among you, if you could just realize the power of this word to turn your heart, if you could just know. You could just know. There's a race you've got to run. Enoch, his main name meant dedicated. How many say, "But Lord, let me be a real Enoch this morning. I want to walk with you. I need a greater adventure. I need to move a little higher with you, Lord. Just keep me true, Lord, in this age. Keep me true, Lord. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. Keep me true. Keep me true, Lord Jesus. There's a race that I must run, and there are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. Just keep Lord Jesus, keep me true. Keep me. Keep me true. There are races that I must run, and there are victories to be won. Give me power every hour to be true. For what will it be when we get over yonder? And join the throng upon the glassy sea. Oh, we'll join our love and crown Christ forever. He's my King. Amen. Oh, now this is just what heaven made to me. Will you stand together with me this morning? Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and we join the throng upon the glassy sea? Well, we'll join our love and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Give me verse 1 if you got it. A country where no twilight shadows be, unending day where night shall never be. A city where no storm clouds ever gather. Oh, now this is just what heaven means to me. Come on, sing it with me now. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder? Hallelujah. Join the throng upon the vast. Yeah. words wound the heart are spoken. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder and we join the cross upon the glassy sea? Oh, we'll join our loved ones and crown Christ for it. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. And when at last we see the face of Jesus,
oh yes,
before whose image others all will flee. And when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. Oh, this is just what heaven means to me. Oh, what will it be when we get over yonder? Oh, and join the throne upon the glassy sea. The bones and crown Christ forever. Oh, this is just what heaven. Sing that last verse again. And when at last we see the face of Jesus, before whose image others all will flee. And when they crown him Lord of all, I'll be there. This is what heaven means to me. What will it be when we get over yonder and join the throng? Oh, yes, Lord. Our loved ones and crown Christ forever. Set me free.
so glad I'm yours, Lord. So glad I'm yours. So glad your mercy has followed me. So glad you found me and set me free. So glad.